How is your emotional tank doing this week? How about those around you? We're having a talk on filling emotional tanks this morning.
We'll also have a dedicated prayer session, a devotional thought from Jesus 101, and music on today's episode of Wake Up with Hope. Join us.
Good morning, friends. How's your week going so far? Well, we hope it's going well and that you already have a thankful heart as Thanksgiving approaches.
It sure is approaching. And today is actually National Anti-Obesity Day. According to the National Institute of Health, nearly 1 in 3 adults are overweight, including more than 1 in 3 men and more than 1 in 4 women.
Wow.
Also, more than 2 in 5 adults have obesity, with about 1 in 11 adults suffering from severe obesity.
Wow. Unfortunately, these numbers are not decreasing at a fast rate. Instead, obesity continues to skyrocket. In fact, obesity rates in children, adolescents, have more than tripled in America since the 1970s.
Wow. Well, the goal of Anti-Obesity Day is to encourage people to work toward ending obesity. And as we approach the holiday season, we encourage you to develop good lifestyle habits and encourage those around you to do the same, to stay healthy and fit.
You know, God will surely help us to reach our goals and to live a healthier life here on earth as we prepare for an eternal one with Him. And friends, we have lots to share with you this morning, so let's begin by taking a look back at what took place on this day in history.
On this day in history in 1916, Thomas Edward Lawrence, a junior member of the British government's Arab Bureau during World War I, published a detailed report analyzing the revolt led by Arab leader Sharif Hussein against the Ottoman Empire in the late spring of 1916. It was Lawrence's firsthand experiences as a scholar and archaeologist in the Middle East that enabled him to write about the Arab revolt, capturing the struggles and aspirations of the people he encountered. His position as a witness gave him unique insights and allowed him to share their story with the world.
You know, in the same way as we experience God's power in our own lives, we too become empowered to share our experiences with others. You know, our testimonies are powerful tools for spreading the gospel. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11 reminds us that they triumph over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. So today, go ahead, share your story of faith, healing, or divine intervention with someone else, and also seek out the testimonies and stories of others. We can be powerful witnesses as we share in the incredible things that God has done for us and inspire others to seek Him too.
Amen. In the midst of caring for others, it's easy to forget to take care of ourselves. The Parenting Place joins us now to share some important tips on how to make sure we take up our own emotional tank and top it off.
Imagine I have a tank inside of me. Now, this is my emotional tank. It gets filled up when people are kind to me, when they smile and listen or include me in their group. It gets filled up when I rest or when I achieve things or even when nice things happen to me. Then my tank is full and I feel good and I can make good decisions. I can even handle a little bit of criticism and correction, you know, without feeling too bruised. But sometimes my tank leaks. If people are rude, ignore me, or cut me off on the motorway, or if I'm tired and hungry, some of those good feelings begin to drain away. And when I'm empty, I don't feel good. I don't make good decisions, and even well-intentioned advice feels harsh and critical. Our children have got emotional tanks too. So if your child's emotional tank is empty, even the best parenting techniques just don't seem to work. So picture your child walking through the door after a long day at school. As he opens the door, he's met with, "Don't you even think about opening that refrigerator. Get straight down to your room and sort out that mess. Have you seen that? What do you think I am, your servant or something?" Now, naturally, this is completely justified and you've been waiting all day to do it. But give the frustration a rest. let's face it, he's been doing life on his own all day. He's tired and hungry, his emotional tank is drained. So that sort of parenting just isn't going to work. An approach that might work is to top him up a bit, perhaps literally by giving him some food, but it might also be space or your attention. When he's refilled, then you can say, hey mate, Benjamin's a bit of a mess. I want you to deal with that before dinner, okay? This response will come far more naturally if your own tank is full. So, what fills your tank?
We hope you're finding our program worthwhile today. Don't forget to share us with a friend and visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup for more. And search for us on YouTube to check out our channel and keep up with us there.
You know, we're excited to be gearing up for our special prayer session with the Let's Pray team. It's coming up right after this short break. Stay with us. What if there was someone who understood every single thing about you? Someone who, without you saying a word, knew exactly what you were thinking and how you felt? And how would you feel to know that you have someone who, by your side, who has limitless resources and ways to help you live your best life? And all you have to do is ask. It'd be pretty amazing, wouldn't it?
Well, friend, you do have someone like that. His name is Jesus, and the Let's Pray team is here to lead us in a time of seeking Him, our best friend. Please join us. Let's pray.
Hello, it is that time again. We are going to pray together as a community, and I'm grateful that we get a chance to spend this time together in the name of Jesus. It says in Psalm 34, 17 and 18, the righteous cry out and the Lord hears them. Isn't that beautiful? He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Amen. Well, I almost feel like that's enough encouragement, but you know, I really appreciate when we're able to take the Word of God and prayer and put it together. So let's do that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I am so grateful that your Word says when the righteous cry out, the Lord hears them. Jesus, I am not righteous in my own right, only because of you. Lord, I try to make good choices each day. All of us do. We try, Lord, to walk in your ways and to grow and to surrender to you, Jesus, and to not walk in sin in any way. But we know that it's truly your robe of righteousness that covers us, that gives us any right standing whatsoever, because our best behavior is like filthy rags, Jesus. So just that very beginning of that verse, Jesus, I'm so grateful. I have a chance to be grateful. We all have a chance to be grateful because it says the righteous cry out and the Lord hears them. And you're what makes us righteous, Lord. So when we're in Christ, we cry out and you hear us. There's not more I have to do. I don't have to make it harder or make it about my performance or anything. Jesus, it's just all about you. And then because it's about you, you hear me. And then even then, it's still more about you, Lord. When we are crushed and brokenhearted, when we need delivering, when we need anything, Father, it's just you we need. And so, Jesus, I thank you that when we cry out, you hear us, that you deliver us from all of our troubles, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the delivering. Thank you for restoring us to you, Jesus, and to one another. Lord, I pray that you would restore broken relationships, first and foremost, between you and me, Jesus, between this entire community and you, and then each of us one to another, Father. I pray, Lord, that you would bind us together by the power of your Holy Spirit. And in your love, Lord, you would work out the struggles and the frustrations that happen from person to person. The ways, Jesus, where we're carrying hurt, Lord, and we're wearing it like a badge. Where we nurse those wounds, Lord, and we think over them again and again instead of letting them go and saying, they owe me nothing. Because, Lord, what could they give us that you can't give us? I would rather receive your love and forgiveness, Jesus, and your healing than to wait to have it from another person. Lord, thank you that you hear us, that you deliver us from all of our troubles. No one else can deliver me from those troubles. Why, Lord, do we wait for somebody else to give us something before we're healed? Our healing isn't dependent upon them. It's on you. So Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that in the name of Jesus, that each one of us in this community, Lord, would choose today to release the people, the things, the situations that we're holding on to, waiting for somebody to give us or do something before we change, forgive, heal. And I pray, Lord, for your living water, your nurturing, your cleansing to wash over us, Heavenly Father, your word, your truth to feed us and to strengthen us, Heavenly Father, and to heal us in our relationships, Lord. I thank you that you are everything we need. Is it helpful, Jesus, when others participate with you and apologize? Oh, yes, Lord. And when we're able to receive that, I praise Jesus. But how much sweeter it is, Lord, to rely upon you for the healing that we need so that when that person does maybe one day come and apologize or there's some sort of mending that happens in the relationship, Jesus, that we're already whole and we can give that wholeness back. We can give the comfort we've already received from you to them. We can extend the forgiveness that we've already given them. Heavenly Father, I pray that we would really begin to understand and grasp that you're the healing that we need so that we can move in freedom and not in bondage to one another. And I thank you, Jesus, that you are our deliverer. Deliver us today from offense. We forgive today, Lord. We choose to forgive. Thank you for healing and restoring broken relationships, Lord. First with you and then with others. Thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen. I pray that you are encouraged. Oh, it can be so difficult, but Jesus knows how hard it is. He never skips over how you're feeling, but he does call us higher. So let's just trust him to walk us through the process. Amen. God bless you.
By my name shall humble themselves, humble themselves and pray. If my people, which are called by my and seek my face and turn from the way. Then will I hear from heaven. Then will I hear from heaven. And shall humble themselves and pray. If my people, which are called by my name, and seek my face, and turn from the wicked way.
Don't forget to visit us at hope.study to grab your free Bible study guides today. Well, friends, it's almost time to have our devotional thought from Jesus 101. So don't turn the channel. We'll be right back.
It's now time for our devotional thought. Elizabeth Talbert from Jesus 101 will be bringing it to us this morning.
Hello, everyone. I'm Elizabeth Talbert, director of the Jesus 101 Biblical Institute. Today, I want to start by showing you a photo of my parents. These are my parents, and I love them very much. My father was the first one to be diagnosed with cancer, and I remember it was stomach cancer. He was quite young, and I remember being in the waiting room, and there's something about suffering that everybody's on even ground, you know? And we were waiting for the doctor to come back from the operation to see if it was successful or not. And I remember the doctor arriving and saying, "Good news, the cancer is out." And I don't remember anything else. I just wanted to go to every person in that waiting room to say, "The cancer's out, the cancer's out." But then the years went by, and each one of my parents got 3 different types of cancer each. And I would like to tell you that they were both healed. You know, Band-Aids are the universal symbol for healing. And I wish I could tell you my mom was healed from her cancer. I wish I could tell you my dad was healed from all his cancers. But they both died from cancer. I lost them a few years ago. Great loss. And then the question is, should we ask for healing? Does God want us to be healed? Is healing the same thing as being whole and restored? Well, we have a little story today from the Gospel of Luke that will give us some answers. So please come with me to Luke chapter 17. We find there in verse 11, Luke 17, verse 11, it says, "While he was on the way to Jerusalem, Jesus, he was passing between Samaria and Galilee." It's interesting because the Samaritans and the Jews didn't always get along. As a matter of fact, they weren't getting along at the time of Jesus. "And he entered a village. As he entered the village, 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him." It's really interesting because leprosy was, there were different skin diseases that disfigured people that were called leprosy at the time. And it was a dreaded disease and infectious in the sense that they had to leave their family, their village, their houses, and live in isolation. 10 men, and we don't know if they were Jews or Samaritans because Jesus is passing by in the middle, they stood at a distance, which was the law if you had leprosy. And they raised their voices. It was the only way to be heard, right? Speak loud if you're at a distance, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." The Greek language says just 4 words. "Jesus, Master, mercy us." You know, when we're suffering, sometimes our prayers are just 1 word, or 2 or 3 or 4 in this case. But what catches my attention is that they call him Jesus. You know, most people didn't call Jesus Jesus. They call him Master, Teacher, Rabbi. But very few people call him Jesus by his first name, like the thief on the cross in Luke 23. "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." They call him Jesus. "Jesus, Master, mercy us." And what is awesome about this name that they're calling him is that Jesus means Yahweh saves. Yahweh saves, or the Lord saves, right? And so it is a request for something. When they say mercy, I don't know what they had in mind, if a healing, a miracle, or some food. But Jesus saw them and did something for them. When he saw them, verse 14, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." Interesting, because a priest, this was a procedure they were supposed to follow if they thought they were healed. But they're not healed. He doesn't say, "You are healed," or "I'm healing you." He says, "Go to the priest." And the priests were something like a health inspector. You can read about it in Leviticus 13 and 14. He would declare them clean if they were without the disease. But the verse 14 says, as they were going, they were cleansed. So they had to act in faith, because really they couldn't see that they were healed, but as they were going, they were healed. So this is the first interaction of Jesus with 10 leprous men, and they're all going to the priest. And now we have a second interaction, but just with one man. Verse 15. One of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back. He didn't get all the way to the priest. He turned back, glorifying God, because he realized that God was the source of this miracle. He's glorifying God, and he says, with a loud voice. I love this part. Loud is mega in Greek, right? And voice is phony. Phonus. Well, that's where we get the word megaphone. With a loud voice, he's glorifying God for this miracle. He comes back. And he says he fell on his face, verse 16, at his feet, giving thanks to him. And we are told he was a Samaritan. Of all of them that could have come to thank the Jewish teacher, this is the foreigner, the Samaritan, which we were not expecting to come and thank Jesus, right? And then Jesus said, there were 10 who were cleansed. Where are the rest? And then he speaks to the Samaritan and says, on verse 19, he said to him, "Stand up and go, your faith," and uses a different verb, not the one that says that he was healed, not the one that says he was cleansed. It's a different verb. It says, "Stand up and go, your faith has saved you," or has made you well. It's a Greek verb for saved, has saved you. You have been restored, you're whole. It was a greater type of healing than simply no more leprosy or just being cleansed from leprosy. And I think it's very important to understand this, because there's a deeper type of healing. There's a restoration that God offers us. Yes, this man received healing, but he also received full restoration, wholeness, salvation. The Bible tells us in James 5 that we should ask for physical healing. But then we give it to God, because he's sovereign over it. He decides if he will heal us of our physical ailments or not. But emotional and spiritual healing, we already know what God's will is. His will is to save us. His will is to restore us. His will is to make us whole. We don't have to ask if it's his will on that, because the Bible is very clear on it. When Jesus died for our sins, he bought our healing, that deep type of restoration, wholeness. You know, I'm going to put two band-aids here to remind you of a beautiful verse in Isaiah 53:5. So I'm going to put it in the as a cross. Isaiah 53:5 says that by his stripes we are healed, because he paid the penalty on the cross for our sins, so that even if we have to, in his sovereign will, we have to live with some kind of sickness in this sinful world. We know that it's his will that we may be whole and restored and made well and saved. That we know is his will. Because by his stripes, we are healed. That deep restoration. You know, my parents both died of cancer, but they were healed much deeper than that. They were whole. They were saved. And I remember them, both of them, dying with no fear, because they knew that Christ at the cross had made them right with God. And I'm waiting to see them on resurrection morning. And I know I will, because they were made whole. They were restored. They were saved. So you too, when you accept Jesus as your personal Savior, you receive that deeper type of healing, that restoration. You don't need to live with shame or guilt, because you are restored. You are healed deeply, because you are saved through the cross of Jesus Christ.
Thank you so much, Elizabeth.
And friends, thank you for spending this time with us. And if you'd like to learn more about us or share us with a friend, visit us at hopetv.org/wakeup.
And don't forget to wake up with us tomorrow morning. We'll have a jam-packed show full of blessings, including music by Lifelong Worship, inspirational life-changing tips, a devotional thought by John Bradshaw, and more. So don't miss it. And if you enjoyed today's devotional thought and would like to learn more about God's amazing plan, visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides.
Again, that's hope.study to claim your free Bible study guides and check out the website. We are sure you're going to find something there for you. And now we can't leave without sharing our daily Bible promise. And it says,
He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever. Revelation 21:4.
You know, friends, the day is coming when Jesus will come and take us to His heavenly kingdom. There will be no more sorrow, no death, no more pain. And that is a promise.
Praise God. That day I am waiting for. We've had a wonderful time on today's program, and we pray you have truly felt God's love and care for you.
Let's pray together. Dear Lord, we truly have a hope that burns within our hearts. And that's the hope to be able to spend an eternity with you, where there will be no more heartbreak, no more pain, no more death. Lord, we know that this is not just a fairy tale or a fiction. This is truly the ultimate reality. And we long for that day. May that day come soon. And yes, that hope is within our hearts. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.